for me.
Thank you.
A little for you. And by little, I mean a nice healthy pour.
Dear listeners, we are reunited with our Dark Horse Rosé. Walgreens restocked it. It's already a good sign.
Yeah.
That this is going to be a very good episode.
Carter, she wrote episode 8.
Yep.
And this is a special episode.
It is. Before we get into the thick of it, I'm your host, Dana LaCoco.
And I am your other host, Sunshine Lamontery.
Now, normally this is the podcast where we read and review cozy cat mystery books. But in order to stay on our schedule of publishing a new episode every 2 weeks, we haven't quite had time to dig into our next book, but we decided to watch a movie.
And it's a cat-related movie.
Yes.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's a little mysterious.
Yeah, I would agree. There's some mysterious paranormal elements to it.
It's supernatural.
Yes. It is supernatural. We're talking, of course, about the classic,
cult classic,
Forgotten to the Sands of Time classic. The movie is called The Cat from Outer Space. It was made in 1978, and it looks like it was made in 1968.
Yeah, it must have been made on a shoestring budget, because what you were telling me, Star Wars came out like the year before.
Yes. A New Hope came out in 1977, which still holds up remarkably well today. And this is also a science fiction film that features some spaceships and a couple of action sequences.
Some flying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not on the level of Star Wars.
No.
Which is surprising because this is a Disney movie. So you think that they had some budget to work with. They did not. I have a theory about where the budget went, which we'll get into.
Okay. Yes. Hold on to your theories.
Yes.
Let's see. So, The Cat from Outer Space, 1978, it was directed by Norman Tokar.
Okay.
I'm guessing. He also directed Leave It to Beaver and The Apple Dumpling Gang. So I guess he was kind of a darling director of classic children's movies.
Yeah.
And then also this.
Which, this is supposed to be a movie for children, but inexplicably, all of its leads are well into their 40s.
Ancient.
Except for the girl. She's probably in like her mid to late 20s, but our two scientist hero guys they're like grandpas. They're very old.
Strange. Probably our single female character.
Yes.
Being in her late 20s was the equivalent of being real old.
Oh my God, you're probably right.
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, I hate Hollywood. It's
so terrible. They were probably like, oh yeah, these old dudes.
Someone else who's old.
Basically like, old.
Yeah, you Sandy Duncan with your little blonde
pixie cut.
Like, you're ancient. Here, you can definitely play alongside this like wrinkly-faced 48-year-old man.
Yeah.
And his gray-haired buddy.
Well, you know he's wrinkly-faced. Probably because he smoked.
True.
Never wore sunscreen.
Never.
And drank a lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
That's my assumption.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say you're probably right. You know, we don't have anything against aging. It's just, it was odd to see the male leads played by dudes that, by today's standards, would be playing someone's, like, grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. It was unusual, especially for a children's movie.
Again, yes. A movie for children.
That has no young people in it.
No one under the age of 27, for sure.
So, hold on, though.
Oh.
We have more to go through.
Oh, okay.
So, the writer was Ted Key, and he also, he did comic characters, so he did, like, okay. Peabody and Mr. Sherman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
From Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So he created them, but he also wrote a book called The Million Dollar Duck, where a researcher brings a lab duck home as a pet and then discovers that the duck lays golden eggs.
I'm sensing a trend in this guy's body of work.
Yeah.
Playful sci-fi and magic animals.
Magic animals, I think, is
scientifically magical.
At the core of his oeuvre. oeuvre.
That sounded good to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's it for, like, who created this masterpiece.
Well, I mean, Norm and Ted, you guys, you've left quite a legacy.
Yeah.
Didn't Norm also die the year after that this was made?
Yeah, would have been his last directorial endeavor.
Went out on a high note, yeah. I guess.
He was like, I'm ready. Yeah. Take me now.
It's like, I've made my masterpiece. I made The Cat from Outer Space. Oh, man. We've certainly formed our own opinion on this movie, but I have to say, I was surprised that most of the reviews were pretty positive for this. Of course, I think they are all through the warm, rosy lens of nostalgia. But here's a selection of what some folks are saying on IMDb. 8 out of 10 stars. I remember loving this movie when I was a young lad. I mean, it had a cat from outer space. A guy got beer spit into his face. The main character was your typical Disney nerd who did all types of wacky things that a kid of around 7 would find funny. He didn't even get hit in the nuts to make kids laugh. If it was remade today, I'm sure that would happen.
Not only would he get hit in the nuts, but there would be, like, fart jokes.
Yes.
And probably the cat would move its mouth to talk. It'd be like CGI.
A lot of this movie is a cat staring directly into a camera with, like, a voiceover because the cat can communicate telepathically.
So you know how the cat is, like, always kind of blinking?
Yes.
Jonathan told me that they were blowing air into its face. And that's how they get it to blink like that.
Oh,
I know.
I don't love that.
The cat spent probably like hours of film production getting air blown into its face to make it look thoughtful and blinky.
Poor kitty.
I know.
I don't love that. To mention the cat, though, it was an Abyssinian cat. That was the breed. And one of the reviews was simply titled, Abba Sensational.
Oh, I love this person.
10 out of 10 stars. The review is not particularly interesting to read.
Okay. The title alone.
Yeah. They're like, I love this movie because I had an Abyssinian cat growing up. And then I saw this movie and was like, that's like my cat.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. That would make me happy as a child, too.
And you may be surprised to learn that another 10 out of 10 star review was written by a cat.
What?
I still list this classic from my kittenhood as one of the best of its kind. Just a must-see for cat lovers and animal lovers of all kinds. Just really cute story, very funny, and all around great for kids of all ages. If you have not seen it since you were a kitten, maybe you need to see it again. I guess those were all pretty glowing reviews.
Yeah.
The few one-star reviews I saw on Amazon either didn't have any copy with them, but there was this one, 1 out of 5 stars, and it simply reads, Jake and some other dudes.
That's it?
Yep. Jake is the cat in this movie, so.
Jake is kind of like a condescending name for this cat. It's like he has a complicated foreign alien name.
Right.
And they're like, we'll just call you Jake.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't tell if that's a positive review or a negative one. I mean, I know it's 1 star, but there's really nothing.
It could have been, like, an old person.
It could have been one of the actors that played one of the scientists.
Yeah.
Who are probably now, like, well into their 90s. I could not get over that this was like, here, kids, watch your uncles, you know, play around with a cat. And
for an hour and 45 minutes.
This movie was so long.
I watched it all the way through, but I will say I got distracted a bunch and, like, had to pause and go back. So I have some trivia.
Ooh, yes.
As you noted, the cat is an Abyssinian cat.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually played by 2 different cats.
Oh, that's good.
Rumple.
Mm.
And his sister, Amber.
No.
Rumple and Amber.
Those are good kitty names.
Those are good kitty names. And the cat was voiced by a dude named Ronnie Schell, who is actually the sergeant in the film.
Okay.
So they had him voice the cat, and then he had this bit role as the sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they were going through production, they were like, oh, you sound too much like yourself. So in post-production, they had another anonymous actor dub over the sergeant.
Yeah.
And kept his voice as the cat's.
There was a lot of things that got dubbed over in this movie that were not... Let's just say the movie magic was not there.
Yeah. Another fun slash terrible fact is that Sandy Duncan was either allergic or afraid of cats in real life.
Oh, no.
I saw two different sources.
Oh, that's terrible because she had to drag around the cat for, like, most of this.
I know.
Oh.
Apparently, whenever they could, they used a fake cat for her.
You could definitely tell. During the helicopter chase sequence.
Oh, my God. I was dying. Yeah. I was like, that is not even just a stuffed animal. It's like a literal taxidermied cat.
Yes.
Up there in the front of that plane.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There were some great examples of taxidermy here that popped up. I mean, that was kind of one of my gripes about this movie. I understand that not everything can be Star Wars. But Star Wars came out a year earlier. And, like, this one... Holy smokes. The special effects were so bad.
And it had Disney behind it. It wasn't like it was from some
small
production studio.
Right. No. You'd think that they had some of that Mickey Mouse money that they could have, like, I don't know, upped their budget. I have to say my all-time favorite lousy special effects sequence is when Frank and Jake go to try and repair his spaceship in the world's least secure military base. They just sort of, like, sneak on in through a fence, and they're in this hangar, and they're like, great, there's the spaceship. And Jake the cat is like, oh, I need you to get on the roof and fix this part. And Frank's like, how can I do that? And Jake is like, oh, well, here, use this cat collar.
This spare collar, just hold on to it.
Right, hold on to it and imagine yourself flying, which he does. And then there's a whole sequence where a stunt double with, like, a much fuller, thicker head of hair is being, like, whipped around this hangar, and you can see all of the wires, and then it cuts from the stunt, like, a faraway shot of the stunt double flying around the spaceship, and then it cuts to a closer shot of the actor in front of a green screen, like, whoa, this is amazing. It was really bad.
That is the exact approach they took to the helicopter chase, too, where it's an establishing shot. Look at this taxidermied cat.
Oh, my goodness.
Hot glued to the front of this prop plane.
It was so bad. Yeah, they clearly didn't put the real cat in the prop plane.
And kudos for that, because was PETA even around?
I don't think
at that point.
And that does seem like the sort of underhanded thing that people would not consider animal welfare when making a movie in 1978.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wow. It was clearly, like, someone went to a taxidermist, found a brown cat, and just, like, plopped it right up there.
It was, like, ratty.
It was not good taxidermy.
It was, like, an old taxidermy cat. Because then you get the close-up, and you're like, no, this is a well-groomed, like, show cat.
Yeah, and then it steps back, and it's like, oh, no, this is that a raccoon? Like, is this even a cat? I don't know.
There's like a desert fox or something instead. They're like, oh, it's far away. Who will tell?
The kids won't notice.
Yeah.
There's another excellent instance of taxidermy gone wrong in this movie. During the sequence where they are trying to sneak out of the very unsecured military base, they run into the one guard that is working that night, and he's got a dog. And one of Jake's alien powers, he can, like, freeze people for 20 minutes.
Which doesn't seem like it is either a telepathic or a telekinetic power, really.
Not at all. But, like, he's like, oh, it's fine. I could just, you know, freeze them in their place. And
they stay that way for 20 minutes. Yeah. So we're good. Let's go.
It was pretty arbitrary. Anyway, they freeze this soldier in place with his dog. And later on, another soldier discovers him. And the guy playing the soldier is clearly, like, holding the leash of a really poorly taxidermy dog. And he's supposed to be frozen solid, but he also is, like, swaying slightly.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, come on, man. Tighten up.
Just hold it together.
Yeah. Like, but it was a very noticeably taxidermy dog. Like, wait a minute. A lot of rampant green screen usage in here, too. I think anytime people were in a car, it was in a green screen.
Yeah. Another trivia fact was that the judge at the end, first of all, he was wearing a doctoral gown and not a judge's robe.
I wouldn't have known.
And then, secondly, this was his final film performance, but not because he died. It was because afterwards he just did a lot of TV and sort of like voice acting.
Okay.
He was Boss Hogg in Dukes of Hazzard.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Nope. And then a couple goofs. So early in the film when Frank and Jake the Cat are talking about how they need this gold bar to fuel the
spacecraft.
Jake is like, he's going to reduce it while retaining all of the elements. And so once they finally get it and he does his little cat magic trick.
It just it glows pink and like shrinks down.
To a pencil, kind of.
Yeah. Also the gold bar that they just were able to like go to a store and buy a giant brick of gold, which kind of looked like just a regular brick spray painted gold.
Yeah.
Like
a bar of chocolate wrapped in gold foil.
That probably would have been better, actually.
Scientifically speaking, if he had it retain all of its elements but turned it to the size of a pencil, it would still weigh the same.
Mm-hmm.
But when good old Liz reaches down and picks it up, she does it like it's nothing. Like, it's not.
Like, it really is just
a bar of gold.
Gold foil covered pencil.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, the whole science thing with this is, like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, so there's, like, why is this alien a cat, right?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I actually wrote down his exact quote.
Oh, my God, please.
You know.
Share it with the class.
The inquiring scientist, Jake, can speak to him in his mind, and he's like, whoa, how did that happen? That's so crazy. And why do you look like a cat? And Jake tells him, where I come from, we didn't need to evolve beyond cats.
Yeah, so the implication there is that humans kept evolving after the point of cats, which, like, those dots don't connect.
It's not like amoeba, fish, cat,
monkey,
horse,
human.
Person. Like,
horse.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, man. The science is beautiful, because there's also, like, what is it? Frank studies electromagnetic something or other.
Oh, he studies some, like, ancient aliens type, like, invisible force field energy.
The energy of the universe.
Yeah, like, it's free energy and it can propel any craft, which is why the engine on the cat spaceship was just this, like, twirling crystal thing. And
so I also loved that, like, a spaceship crashes, and they're like, we gotta figure out, because there could be a green slimy thing running around, and this could be war, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
It's not and the Russians, we know that much.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
And they're having this NASA meeting with the scientists, and the general is like, this is a top secret meeting.
Yeah.
Like, if any of you say anything, it'll be your heads and blah, blah, blah. And they go around the room, and he's like, what do you think this thing is? And, of course, they can't touch it or have any time to study it or ask, like, what is it from?
Yeah.
Or anything. He's just like, take a guess.
Right.
And
then
he's angry when their guess is, like, totally wrong.
Yeah. I also like that in this room at NASA where the top secret meeting takes place, they're like, all right, guys, what we're about to show you is top secret, so close the drapes. And, like, someone just goes and closes these, like, shears in front of the blind, in front of the windows, and they're like, okay, great. Now open up the secret box.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to look at? And I'm like, that doesn't seem very secure.
Also, like, a cat managed to break into your secure meeting.
Yes.
So, I mean, granted, it's a magic cat from space.
Yeah.
But still, that's not very secure.
No, not at all.
And then when they're going around, the one lady scientist who is blatantly rebuffed for offering any opinion.
Man, this whole movie, there was one female character that was Liz, who is like, I don't know, a thermophysicist or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Played by Sandy Duncan, who apparently didn't like cats or was allergic to cats. But
Went and auditioned for The Cat from Outer Space anyway.
Where she had to spend all this time with cats. This movie was totally awful to the sole female character. I would say every time she was on screen, she was just, like, being told by a man to be quiet.
Or just being ignored.
Right.
When she's like, oh, your cat is sick. Well, I know a vet in the building. Let me go get the vet. Should I go get the vet? And they're too busy watching sports to even, like, look at her and acknowledge what she's saying.
Right. Not to mention that stupid Frank was like, oh, I really, you know, have the hots for Liz, my colleague and neighbor. I'll ask her on a date, which he forgets about because...
Immediately forgets about.
And then she shows up at his door and he's like, sorry, I can't. I've got this cat. And she's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Well, how about a rain check for tomorrow? Okay, sure. And she shows up the next day, but him and his buddy are too busy, like, trying to bet on the sports games to win all the money to get the gold.
Committing fraud.
Literally committing fraud. And she's like, hey, just a minute here. I demand an explanation. And they're like, shh, quiet down, Liz.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would not be pleased with that. Mm. And then, of course, she gets roped into their dumb plot. They're like, let's go to the pool hall and try and win the rest of that money. Speaking of, like, this pool hall was, like, a time warp back to 1930.
Yeah.
It was run by, like...
Oh, it was Ernest, Ernie, Honest Harry, Weasel, and Sarasota Slim.
I'm so glad you remembered those names. And they all were wearing, like, zoot suits and, like, eating
talking
sandwiches.
In, like, like 1920,
white guy, well, it's just me, honest.
If you were to fold back on your word,
oh my gosh. So they go to the pool hall, and they're like, let's place this insane bet, which, you know they'll win because they have a telepathic space cat that can control
everything.
So, like, you know, this whole pool sequence is ridiculous. Of course, the guys are like, well, you know, the girl has to play pool because she probably can't do it.
Right, because the odds of her winning are even less.
Even slimmer with her weak female arms.
Her inability to process spatial relationships.
Yeah, and play bar sports. Anyway, she ends up, like, hitting this pool ball. And, of course, the cat uses his space telepathic powers to bounce it off frying pan, a hard hat, a table, a bottle of beer, and, you know, sink it in a pocket. And then another time, you know, Sarasota Slim, the pool shark, goes to take his shot, and the cat uses his brain powers to, like, make all of the balls roll to the center of the table and essentially re-rack. Which is, like, you're clearly cheating. Like,
yeah.
That's not how physics works.
Right.
But all the pool hustlers are like, ah, man, you guys won.
But that's, like, throughout, like, in the football game,
yes.
Where the, I don't know sports, so
they
the kicker
kick
guys.
Yes. He kicks a field goal.
There we go. And so the dude who kicks the ball, so he kicks a field goal. And it's going. And the cat looks just in time, and his little magic collar lights up, and the football stops.
Yeah.
And falls straight
and
down.
And just, like, drops to the earth.
And the announcers are like, whoa, never seen that before.
I mean, there were just a lot of instances. The other thing that they, you know, the other sport they watch on TV in this, like, 20-minute-long sports-watching montage is horse racing. And, of course, they're like, oh, let's bet on the horse least likely to win. Which comes out of the gate and, like, starts eating some grass on the side of the racetrack. And I was like, all right, I
get
the horse.
Yeah.
But then the cat looks at him and, like, immediately he springs into action.
You can tell that they have just sped up the film, like, five times.
Oh, totally. So the horse is like, the legs are, like, flying. And, you know, he wins the race. And they're like, wow, I don't know how this happened. It's amazing. Wow. It's
and then because...
telepathic space cat.
Because they can't stand to pay attention to a woman who is speaking, the cat gets sedated.
Yeah.
And they end up losing their next bet because they can't commit fraud without their alien cat.
It's so true. And they're like, thanks a lot, Liz. You're just going to have to come to the pool hall with us now.
And she's like, I thought your cat was sick, you jerk.
Yeah. I got in touch with the one veterinarian that lives in this building for your cat. I don't know. She just got really the short end of the stick.
She did.
She also gets kidnapped.
Like, yeah, like, and then has to jump out of the helicopter
with
her cat.
Let's talk about this final scene.
Okay,
so,
I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
Getting to the scene, just to describe it, is so buck wild. Like, nothing about this movie makes sense. So the whole thing was like, we've got to get the gold to get Jake the Space Cat's spaceship operational.
Right, and so the thing is, like, his spaceship is needs to meet the mothership, which is like hanging out at the edge of the galaxy right. before they return to their home planet.
Otherwise, he'll never get back to the home planet.
That's right.
And I'll be honest, I was really hoping he would get back to his home planet.
I wanted him to get on that spaceship and go and let them go get Liz on their own.
But he's like, no way. Liz is kidnapped. Her cat, who I'm attracted to, who's obviously a fluffy white Persian, is also kidnapped. Let's go get him. I guess I'll never return to my home planet again. Which is really kind of sad when you think about it. I was also hoping that they would cut to his home planet at the end and it was just like nothing but a bunch of cats.
Oh,
with like
my
the
God.
Little sparkly space collars.
Or can you imagine it cuts back to his home planet? It's like his family waiting for him to return.
Oh, God. Like, sorry, guys. I've got a new lady now. Oh, my God. That would take such a weird turn.
I wish that was what happened.
I know. Instead, it ends up being this convoluted helicopter chase where the bad guys have Liz and her cat, which is very clearly a fake cat in this sequence.
It's the whole way.
It's like a fur coat. And they're flying off somewhere. It's unclear where.
Right.
But Frank the scientist and Jake the alien space cat are like, we'll come rescue you. So Jake uses his telepathic powers to like get this little propeller plane to lift off and they're chasing the helicopter and the plane.
The propeller plane is like, the propeller is half broken off.
Yeah, like there's like pieces missing from
the,
it.
Yeah, like the body of it is coming
been, like,
off. It's like
moldering part, since World War II.
Part of a skeleton.
Yeah.
Like,
it shouldn't be.
It's not airworthy,
not,
I would say.
Not at all. But, you know, when
it's
you have
fine.
Telepathic powers,
I mean, yeah.
you can do whatever. So you're chasing this helicopter, and the bad guy's like, oh, well, quick, turn around and drive at them and try and force them out of the sky. And the helicopter's like, zoop, okay, not a problem. Like, we just turn on a dime and play chicken with you, plane. Yeah. But then the plane, like, flies over the helicopter and does a loop-de-loop.
Right, and he falls out, and he's dangling.
He's, like, holding on. I'm just like,
that's
okay,
not how that works.
This nerd does not have the upper body strength to, like, stay gripping on to the sides of this plane. Also, you
flying upside down.
You would, like, for sure just be, so, you would have been dead.
Yeah.
Like, 10 times over.
I mean.
And so, you know, he eventually gets back in the plane. Jake uses his space powers to right it. So he's, like, flying the crappy plane. He's going to get the helicopter. And the bad guys are like, oh, no. Well, you know, just shoot at it. So all the bad guys get out their pistols. And they're, like, sticking their hands out the window of the helicopter trying to shoot at this plane. Which, like,
is that going to take the plane down? I mean,
it
already shouldn't be flying.
I feel like it's got to be really hard to, like, shoot a gun while you're several thousand feet up in the air, too.
Yeah.
And what
there's
is
there going to be some, like, aerodynamic
Yeah, I don't think the bullets
issues.
Would just go straight. But, again, I'm not a physicist, so I could be wrong.
Or a gun expert.
Yeah. Physicists and gun experts, like, hit us up, let us know. Because
we
don't know.
We could be wrong.
We could be wrong.
This could be science.
It might be. But, you know, one of the bumbling henchmen manages to, like, shoot the controls of the helicopter. And instead of causing it to immediately crash, they're like, oh, no, it's just going to drive straight until the gas runs out. So we have to bail. All the bad guys have parachutes, and they hop right out of this helicopter. And they're like, sorry, Sandy Duncan, you're on your own.
And also the spy who brought them the information.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like a quippy scene where Sandy's like, I don't have a parachute.
And they're like, you're going to have to deal. And her reaction is, oh, swell. Like, that would not be my
no.
reaction to the situation.
And the spy's like, I don't have a parachute either. And the bad guy's like, well, that's your problem, too.
Yeah.
And then they jump out.
Yeah. And the spy just, like, jumps on the back of one of the other henchmen.
And that's science as well.
Right. Like, and manages to grip onto him as they, you know, free fall for several thousand feet. Anyways, then Sandy Duncan and her cat are all alone on this helicopter, and
she's shouting out the window, Frank!
And he can hear her,
Frank,
too.
Frank, of course.
Like, don't worry, I'm coming! So Frank and Jake, like, pilot their spacecraft, or not spacecraft, it's a
plane.
Their
prop
plane.
Their fake
yeah.
prop plane.
And he's like, just climb out of the helicopter. Which she does. I mean,
with her cat under
yes.
her arm.
And basically, he, like, grips the helicopter and stands on the top propeller of this biplane, forming essentially, like, a human bridge for her to, like, climb down him and, like, get in the cockpit of this plane.
But then, instead of dropping to the plane when it starts to, like, lower beneath them, they continue to hold on to the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then they're dangling from the helicopter and the plane isn't underneath them anymore.
Again, because he just has crazy upper body strength and is like, I can just, like, hang here on and support both of us on a moving helicopter.
So, and then maybe the detail that I loved most is he's holding on to the bar of this helicopter, yes, underneath it. And she is holding on to him. She releases one arm to slap her forehead. Like, oh gosh.
How did we get in this situation?
What a foible.
What a pickle.
Oh, boy. Oh,
goodness gracious. Brother. Me. Yeah.
Like, no, you were dangling from a man who was dangling from a helicopter thousands of feet in the air. You hold on with both hands the whole time.
Exactly. Hold on.
You're
going to die.
Smack your forehead in disbelief at your own idiocy.
Good grief. It was rough. I half expected this movie to end with their wedding because even though he was like the worst boyfriend ever and treated her poorly the entire movie, I was like, they'll probably end up together at the end. But instead it ended up with the citizenship hearing for the cat.
So first of all, if she's going to marry anyone, she should have married the cat.
He was really the best.
Abandoned his home,
mm-hmm,
and any ability to ever return to his people.
Just to stay on Earth with these nerds.
And just to save her, really. Yeah,
basically.
But instead, I tell you what, if I was dangling from helicopter with my cat, he would not be calm about it.
No.
Neither of us would be okay.
I mean, Herschel would be the cause of both of our deaths in that case. Like,
exactly.
He would.
Like, I would not let go of him, but he would hurt me so badly with his little scratching panic wiggle that we would both fall out and die.
Yeah. Also, like, I have pretty lousy upper body strength. I can't even do a single chin up, much less like dangle from a helicopter without dying.
As long as they don't want me to get back into the helicopter, mm-hmm, I could hang there.
Yeah, for like, you know, maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah, but it would depend on how much like jewelry I had on my hand at the time. Ooh, also, it's gonna be cold, right?
Right.
You're up high, the wind is going. It's gonna be windy.
Yeah, you think you'd just, like, get blown right off.
Impractical.
It wasn't very realistic, needless to say.
But, so, no one got married. And instead, our friendly off-world power...
Yep. Becomes a United States citizen.
It ends with the whole gang in court.
Mm-hmm.
Jake the cat is sitting on the court chair in front of the judge.
Yep.
The judge is like, repeat after me.
Gotta say the Pledge of Allegiance to become a U.S. citizen, which I don't think that's how that works, but...
Is that not? I bought that.
I thought that you had to, like, go through months of, like, classes, and you had to pass tests, and...
But I could imagine it being like, all right, and then say your first Pledge of Allegiance.
I guess, like, maybe a ceremonial thing.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I just
I think
don't
you
see
do it
cat.
In a group, though. I think it's not you and
like
a
you
judge.
And a single judge. Yeah.
Like, one at a time, please.
Right. Also, I mean, it was a bold move for Jake to be like, I'm going to levitate you, judge. Like, don't pull shenanigans. He could be like,
don't prank this judge.
Just kidding. Go back to your cat planet.
Yeah.
Like, the United States doesn't want you and your tomfoolery here.
It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I would recommend watching this movie. It wasn't so bad. It was good again. It was just tedious.
It was tedious.
Yeah.
I would say watch the trailer, mm-hmm, and like maybe zoom to the end and watch a couple minutes of the terrible helicopter chase.
Like maybe the last 3 minutes with the helicopter dangling. You don't need to watch the full 15.
No.
Yeah.
Every scene is way too long.
So long.
And like the plot moves pretty slowly.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't know. I appreciated that they didn't try to make the cat's mouth move.
Yeah, that was probably a smart move. They knew their limitations. They were like, oh, you know what? He can just speak telepathically because his brain has evolved far beyond that of humans and cats. I was like, all right, fair enough.
I kind of wish I could devolve back into a cat.
Yeah.
That's how that works, right?
I mean, according to this movie, yes. Because humans and cats are on the same evolutionary
track.
Yeah.
And of course, on a separate planet millions of miles away, the same exact creatures would have evolved.
Yeah.
From bacteria or whatever.
Right.
How does that work?
I mean, I think it starts out with, like, the primordial soup, right? And then, like, you get some...
bubbling.
Fishy and, stuff after a few million years, and then that kind of, like, inches solidifies up onto solidifies
into a thing, and then you have dinosaurs.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, like...
something.
You've got, like, 40 million years, I think.
Yeah. So I was trying to figure out, because there is a book version of this.
Oh, God, really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, what I was trying to figure out was whether the movie came first or the book came first.
Mm.
I don't know, because Ted Key wrote this movie, but he also wrote the book.
Okay.
And I think he might have written the book afterward.
Mm.
He was like, you know what? I think people really love this story.
There's really a lot of, there's a lot more of this story.
Yeah, I'd really like to give you deep insight into the internal lives of all these characters.
Yeah, so. I mean, I know you're all thirsting for a sequel. You know, what happened? How's Jake the Cat adjusting to being a U.S. citizen?
Oh, my God.
Did he marry...
Lucy Bell.
Lucy Bell, Liz's cat, who is definitely played by, like, a fur coat and or taxidermied cat.
Yeah.
In most of the scenes.
Most.
I'm,
story goes on.
Yeah, I guess.
So one thing I wondered... and maybe this is just, like, a nod to my morbid personality, but I was like, does an alien cat have the lifespan of a regular cat, or is he immortal?
I don't know.
And will he live forever?
Also, if he traveled light years away, you know, how does that work? Because when you're traveling through space, doesn't time do, like, a weird thing?
Time does do a weird thing.
Where it's, like, 10 years pass on Earth, but it's, like, 100 years pass in...
elsewhere.
Space. The farther you get from
Oh,
unless it's the opposite.
I think it's the opposite.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I think it's like you're in space for a year, but just theoretically, because I don't know the math, 100 years pass on Earth.
Okay.
If you go at light speed.
Yeah, it's something with, like, hyperspace.
He obviously did not have, like, a life cycle pod. What, like, a stationary, life stationary pod?
Also, I mean, that spaceship made me angry, too, because, like, straight up made out of styrofoam. It was so cruddy looking.
It was your Roswell UFO with, like, the...
It was, you know, the dome with, like, the green glass top.
Yeah.
But the inside just was like, oh, we put some Christmas lights, you know, behind a pegboard, and we've got these, like, cool control panels that pop up.
The government assumed that whatever came out of there would be, like, 6 feet tall and green and slimy.
Yeah. Oh, it was... it's like, come on, guys. This is bad.
Yeah. You can do better.
Yeah.
We know because Star Wars came out the year before.
Yeah, like...
that's how we know you can do better.
Yeah.
I mean... yeah. So, that was the cat from outer space.
That was the cat from outer space. We will return with a book... review.
And we are actually super excited about this next book coming up because we talked to you a little bit about it in episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lillian Braun.
Yep. And we're digging deep to see if the Cats That series is truly a ripoff of the Cats Who series.
Right.
I mean, we know we've got parallels between precocious Siamese cats in both.
Obviously, the titles, which is, like, the clearest link.
Right. Pretty clear. So, we're going to see how deep this rabbit hole goes.
Yeah. We need to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you guys haven't yet, please go on iTunes and rate, review, subscribe to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yes.
Or go to our website. You can also email us if you want.
Yes.
At perdershewrote@gmail.com.
Yep. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us your recommendations.
Yes. If you know of any better movies involving cats, let us know.
We did, to our credit, we did look for a cozy mystery cat movie.
True.
And we could not find one.
No, there's no true cozy cat mystery movie that I know of. Although, that seems like something like a Hallmark Channel original that might exist. But, you know.
That would be hard to find on Amazon or Netflix.
It would require a lot of internet sleuthing. So we just broadened our search to cat movies.
Yeah. We figured this was This was in line with our interests.
Yeah, it's not the weird German suicide catcall one. So yeah. Be happy for that, guys.
All right.
All right. Well, love you, kitten.
We love ya. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.